Friends, we have already seen how the Lord has called Moses to a great task. It is a formidable task. It is a task that is filled with dangers. There are many things that before Moses, the practical steps, the things that will follow, they are uncertain. He knows that they will be rescued. There will be an exodus out of Egypt. But he doesn't know all the steps. And yet the Lord promises, you will come here. You will worship me here. That's a sign. But then he says, but the people will not believe me. They won't believe me. And so he goes through a series of excuses that he gives. And we saw last time how the Lord then says to him, what is in thine hand? It was a rod. It was a dead piece of wood. And God turned it alive. God made it into a serpent. And then commanded Moses to pick it up. And he was teaching Moses many, many lessons through that. And I won't go through the things that we thought about last time. But one of the things that comes out to me through these passages is the matter of being confused about certain things. Certain things in our lives that happens and we are confused. We don't know what the Lord is doing in those things in our lives. And yet, we are to obey him. Yet, in the midst of all that darkness and confusion and questions, the Lord says to us, obey me. Obey me. I will see you through these things. And that's something that we see here. As the Lord tells Moses to do certain things, there are no questions asked. There are no buts. There are no whys. He simply does it. And the Lord doesn't say to him why he is doing that. If he is to put his hand in his bosom, what is going to happen? The Lord doesn't say any of that. He wants Moses to obey him. It's a lesson in faith and obedience here. There is nothing different under the sun. There's nothing different for us, God's people. The Lord still calls you and I to this kind of a life of simple, childlike obedience. A life of faith. And so now we come to this portion of God's word, and we will, God willing, in the time that we have, look at verses 6 through to 9, and the lessons that we take from these verses. First of all, in verses 6 and 7, we learn this, that God uses those who obey him. I just want to emphasize that. God uses those who obey him. In verses 6 and 7, we see the second sign that takes place. The Lord says to Moses this, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. What happens as this man puts his hand into his bosom for the first time? The Lord says, put it in. And then take it out. It becomes like snow. Leprous like snow. Now, there was a skin condition here. And the word there, snow, it doesn't mean necessarily that it was white like snow. But the wording there is to do with the flaky skin. That's what it means. It's like snow that is flaky. That's how it was. But whatever the case is, clearly Moses doesn't know what is going to happen when he slips his hand inside his bosom, inside the, as it were, inside his coat, and pulls it out. He doesn't know what is going to happen. All he's doing is what the Lord has called him to do. He doesn't tell the Lord why. What's going to happen to my hand? Something's going to happen. What's going to happen? He doesn't ask. But God, by bringing on this incurable disease and by instantaneously curing it is pointing to the fact that he has chosen this man. I've chosen you. Moses is to be his spokesman. God is going to act through this man, Moses, to speak to Pharaoh, to lead his people. And he needs to learn these lessons because he's going to face harder tasks to lead the people of God. So Moses is God's choice for his people. And he needed to learn these lessons. And he's doing well here in the sense that he is obeying the Lord. He would have been confused. You would have been confused. You would have been asking why. I would have done the same. It makes no sense. What kind of a test is this? And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh, it says. In verse 6, it is interesting. As similar expressions are used, he puts his hand in his bosom in verse 6. And then it says, when he took it out, suddenly there is this word, behold. Behold, see what happened. There is this sense of surprise, this sense of shock. And one can only imagine Moses' shock. Leprosy was one of the most fearful diseases in the ancient world and had no cure, and resulted in people's social isolation. Often they set you apart from the rest of society, where you couldn't have any part with anybody. You couldn't commune with others. And you know something of that with the experiences that you and I have had in recent times. But can you imagine that? And one of the rules of leprosy was never to allow diseased skin to come into contact with skin, which was not diseased. And here the Lord is saying, put your diseased hand back into his bosom. Put it there. What is the Lord saying there to him? He says, I'm in control. I'm in control. I've brought this about, and I am commanding you to do this. Maybe the doctors will say, don't do that. Maybe the people who might know better, the worldly people, would say, don't do these kinds of things. We've got rules about these things. This is, I've told you to do that. And my friends, you and I face things like that, that we see what the Lord says to us something, and it is very different to what the world is telling us. And you apply it in your own situation. If the Lord has said it, the Lord is saying to you and I, obey. Obey me. You may not understand it, but obedience is better than sacrifice. And what we see is that God is showing his sovereignty over man. He's identifying Moses as his chosen one in this second sign that he gives. So in the first instance, the Lord says, do this. Moses doesn't ask any questions. Again, verse 7, the same thing. The Lord says, do this. Moses doesn't ask any questions, even though he has been shocked, even though seemingly he is now leprous. But the second time, this word behold is used. Behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. That's a positive behold. So one can only imagine Moses' shock again. Moses' horror at the possibility of being marked with a loathsome disease changed to amazement of how powerful God is, how powerful God is to heal. In the ancient world, this disease could not be cured, and yet God does it. It's saying, Moses, if I have done this, I can do great things for you. I can do greater things than these. I am the one who has created your hand. I can recreate it. And so he says to us, and these things are testing him, but also they are helping him to build his faith that was flagging. To build his faith, which had become weak, and he might have had many questions underneath his faith. When someone asked, do you have faith in the Lord? Maybe there were issues of assurance. But here the Lord is strengthening, fortifying that. And friends, as you face challenges, whatever it is, whatever kind of test it is, trust in the Lord. The second thing is this, that we learn here that life is under God's sovereign control. Life is under God's sovereign control. And that's what we see in verses 8 and 9. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So here is the final test out of these three tests. This is the third test. So he gives this final sign of the Nile River turning into blood. And it reminds us something. It reminds us that God is sovereign over life. The Nile River was the life giver of Egypt. The Nile in the ancient writings, both Egyptian and non-Egyptian, is identified closely with Egypt. When you think about Egypt, you think about Nile, the Nile River. It was called the life giver of Egypt. Nile brings life to Egypt. And when the water is turned into blood, God is showing his sovereignty, that is overruling over that which is most distinctive and essential to life in Egypt. And by the way, he's giving you a little foretaste of the first of the plagues as well. And Moses, in order to convince the people of God that he was God's prophet for them and to them, does this miniature version of the first plague which God will visit against Egypt. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, verse 8, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. So the first sign, if you remember, was the snake, the serpent. And as it turned, the rod turned into a snake, and then back again into the rod. And keep in mind that this sign essentially serves to point to and aid perception. That's what the sign does. It helps us to see. It gives insight. That's why it's called a sign. It helps you to see. The English definition of sign is something that suggests the presence or existence of a fact, existence of a condition or quality. In simple terms, friends, signs point to something. And you read in the Gospel of John, when it refers to the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're all sign miracles pointing to him. And here is Moses doing these signs, pointing to the fact that the Lord Jehovah is real. He's sovereign, he's ruling, he's the God of Israel. He is the deliverer. And the question for all of these signs, these three of the signs, is what is the specific meaning of these signs? We have alluded to the staff serpent sign And the fact that the Egyptians, the rulers, wore a sort of a crown that had the image of a serpent. But it says here that they may believe the voice of this final sign. It says in verse 8, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. It is interesting. It says the voice. There's a voice in this sign. The sign is speaking. They should be hearing something. Each of the first two signs had to do with transformation. Something good, something useful. There is a rod, there is a hand that was made into something that was not good. Something that was evil, we could say. There was a serpent, there was a leprous hand. And significantly, they were then transformed back again. There was a real message. There was a voice in this. Are you listening? The Lord is saying. Are you listening? The first said, Moses, if you obey me, your enemy will be made powerless like the serpent. The second was saying to Moses, Moses, if you obey me, your pollution can be made pure. Your sins, your disobediences that are like the disease of leprosy, they can be cleansed. And doubts in each of these areas probably hindered Moses. And before those signs spoke to anyone else, they spoke to Moses. Moses must be hearing. Moses must be listening to the voice of these signs. And that's a pattern with all of God's leaders. They must be listening to the Lord. Those men who are leading, they must be listening to the Lord. What's happening in your life? Are you listening? Are you taking on board the things that are happening? Or you just say, well, this is just life. These things happen in our lives. The troubles, the problems, the temptations come my way. But if you don't listen, other things will happen to teach you. So let us be sensitive to the voice of the Lord in the things that are happening around us. Have our eyes open, our ears open. What is God saying in this? In verse 9 it says, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. The Nile River has been, as I mentioned, described as the lifeblood of Egypt. Because without the Nile, there would be no crops produced, there would be no water for the animals. So God directs this third sign at the heart of the nation's life. And in so doing, he was showing that he could impose his will upon the nation of Egypt. The Lord can take away life as well as giving life. And as the rest of the account shows, this sign was foreshadowing of the 10 plagues that would soon come as definitive proof of God's power over Egypt. You see, all must bow to the Lord. No Egypt of this world will ever succeed. The empires of this world, the great men of this world will fall. So let us be mindful of that. Let us not be seeking to build up our own empires, but bow to the Lord, always bowing humbly before the Lord. Pharaoh would not listen. He didn't hear the voice in these signs. But praise God, Moses saw, Moses heard. And so all he needed were these three signs for Moses. Egypt received 10 plagues. And they still harden themselves. And what we find later on is that Moses performed these before the elders. Later on, he went before the elders and he did those very things. In verses 29 onwards, him and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel and did those very things. And the people believed, it says. They did listen. They did hear the voice in the signs. They heard that this is what God has promised. What a wonderful thing. But let me say to you this as well. These signs were speaking of other things, spiritual things. We'll touch on that later on as well. But they spoke of God's power over Satan. That is the serpent. They spoke of God's power over the serpent, the devil. And then the Lord is also teaching Moses that he has power over sin. That was pictured in leprosy. He can cleanse sin. He can forgive sins. And of the fact that Israel would be redeemed from both of these through what? Through the blood. All of these things are being pictured, and the shadow becomes darker and darker and darker. And in the New Testament, we have the reality of it. In all these things, especially in the first and the last sign, God is reiterating to his people that he is sovereign over Egypt. And you realize again that it's not just Moses performing these curious and almost bizarre signs that in and of themselves are convincing and compelling to the people of God. It's their realization of what the sign indicate. These signs indicate that God's sovereignty over their enemies, God in his plan of redemption is sovereign over all the enemies of his people. And so they don't have to worry. That's something for us to rejoice tonight as well. To be glad that God is in control. That's something for us to be happy about. Not just applying this to our personal challenges, but remembering the great challenges that we're all up against. Because we struggle not, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood that we are wrestling and fighting. But we are wrestling against powers and principalities. Against the spiritual forces. We have a great enemy, Satan. He's invisible. And yet he's real. And he seeks to come and undermine. There's a greater Pharaoh out there who comes with his power, who comes with his forces, seeking to devour, seeking to put burdens more and more upon our shoulders. And God in this passage tonight is reminding us again that he is sovereign over all of those as well. We are no match for them. We are no match for Satan. But God is. God is sovereign. And so he has chosen his man. He will redeem his people. And he will reveal himself. Not only to his own people, but even to the enemies of his people. And that will bring praise to him. He says to Pharaoh that he will get himself glory through what was happening. Now, in conclusion, let me give you some practical things from these verses. We've tried to apply some things to us as we have thought through these verses. But let us think, first of all, that these signs were performed by God through Moses. What is that telling you? It's telling you that God uses people. He uses individuals. You don't have to be an army. Just one man, one woman, who is committed to the Lord, who is willing to obey the Lord, who is willing to suffer, who is willing to be misunderstood as Moses was, who is there for in the long haul, is there in good times, in bad times. He uses men. Moses was God's choice, and he was the major individual God would use to accomplish his will. God singles out his people to use them for his will. And the Lord still chooses his people, and he chooses us for specific tasks, different things. Are you serving the Lord in the things that God has given you right now as individuals, as Christians, as those who are committed to this congregation, as single people? Are you committed to the Lord? Are you following, pursuing after purity? Are you not allowing things that are sinful and sensual to come in through your eye gates and ear gates? What are you listening to? What are you doing with your spare time? So much time you have been given. And I'm not just talking to younger people, but older saints as well. We all go through different seasons of our life, and there's a time that many of us lose a spouse, maybe. Situations change, and we are by ourselves. Say to the Lord, Lord, this is the thing, this is the dead time that I have, as it were. This is the rod in my hand. This is the thing that could be useless, but it could be useful. Lord, use it. Another thing is that these signs were very specific to this time in the program of God. The serpent sign showed that God was more powerful than any supposed deity of the Egyptian world. The pharaohs, as we said, wore those crowns that had serpents on them, that they believed that they were gods. And the leprosy was a sign that only God can heal sin. Leprosy was often the punishment for sin. We have it in the scriptures. We have Miriam's case and even Aaron's case. But that is a picture that only the Lord can forgive our sins. And the Nile River sign was a sign that the river was not sacred. There are various people. We were talking last week about the river Ganges in India. It is regarded as a sacred river. And the Lord is saying, no. No, I am sacred. I am the one who is holy. You need me for your life. Another thing is this, that we learn about how slow we are to believe God's word. Moses needed three signs for him to trust the Lord. How many signs would we need? How many times the Lord has told us to do certain things and shown us his way and repeated things to us? And I think to myself, how many sermons have I heard? How many times have I been convicted to my heart? And I thought to myself, the Lord is speaking to me, and yet a month passes. Or I've been to some meeting, some conference. I hear messages and I'm very much stirred up, and I know this is the word of God for me. And then 6 months down the line, I've forgotten all about it. How many times does God have to speak to me? And how slow we are of hearing God's word. As if there are times in our lives that we can't trust in what he says. There are times in our lives when we know this is what the word of God says, and yet we worry, we are concerned, as if God is not faithful. And we are slow and we presume things. And we can easily become cold at our hearts. And we can become hardened and lose our senses. We can easily become discouraged. We can easily become depressed. And in the things that we do, we can become, as the scripture says, faint-hearted. We easily give up. Oh, it's not working. It can't be the Lord's will, so I give up. That's another thing the Lord is teaching. No. You see, the Lord the scripture says he's slow to anger and of great mercy, and he deals not with us according to the multitude of our sins. Or else, what would happen? The strongest Christian would be condemned of his unbelief. Moses would be condemned of his unbelief. But God was very patient. He didn't just give him one sign, but three times. So the Lord is patient here. And he was patient with Egypt too. They received 10 signs. Another thing that we learn is this, that when we shrink from trouble, when we shrink from self-denial or from difficulty, when we are shrinking from danger that is ahead of us of any kind, or when we shrink from serving the Lord and from doing the things that God has called us for His glory, we can easily be tempted by love of self. We can easily be tempted by the love of ease of life. And we can come up with all kinds of excuses. Moses had his excuses. We'll come up to some of those that will follow. He says, I'm not eloquent in verse 10. We can always find something that fits our situation. And it seems to be sufficient to us. Sometimes even if you have been rebuked from someone or in a certain situation you've failed, there's a danger in this situation, as Moses could have felt like this. There's a danger that you become timid. Moses could have said, well, I have already failed once. I've already been rebuked once. These people would not believe me. And he could have not gone forward, not pursued the things of God. And we can easily become timid because we've failed in the past or because someone has said something and corrected us or rebuked us. There's a danger to stop from doing what the Lord calls us to do, for going forward. It may stop us from taking up opportunities. The Lord says to us, here is the opportunity. Use it. It will be a blessing to the Lord's people. It will be a blessing to your family. And you say, but if I do this, I've tried to do this before, but it failed. I may be rebuked again. I may make mistakes again. So what? The Lord will be with you. The Lord will help you. Just be humble. Just be humble and trust in the Lord. Be honest in the things that you are doing, and the Lord will help you through it. Be honest with the Lord's people. Be honest with the Lord. Be genuine. And another thing is this, by way of application, listen. Listen to what God is saying to you in the difficulties. Don't think that I should not experience the difficulties, because God is speaking to you in it. And in the things that He's challenging you about, God is speaking to you in it. There is a voice in these things. That's what we are hearing here. There's a voice. They will believe the voice of the latter sign. Will we believe in the voice that God speaks through these things? God is pointing out to you, pointing Himself out to you, that you should trust Him. That's one of the clearest voices. When challenges come up your way, you can always say, God is telling me I can trust Him now. God is telling me He's taking all of the props, all of the things that I relied on, all of the people, all of the situations that I have relied upon, and He's saying to me, I can trust Him, or He wouldn't take these things away. Or maybe there are persecutions, there are dangers. He's saying, I want you to follow me. You become ill. He says, be faithful to me. And finally, these signs are very applicable to us. We've all been, in one sense, snake bitten by Satan. We've all committed leprous sins against God. And the only one who can take our sin only one who can wash our sins and wash it away is by blood, and that is God. God does that. And that is exactly what he does when we believe on Jesus Christ. He washes away our sins. Don't remain snake-bitten. Don't remain a leprous man. But see in this that here is the blood that the Lord produces, and the blood was shed at Calvary's cross for our sins through Jesus Christ. Well, may the Lord bless these thoughts to us.